Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History, the podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history.
The luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This would have fighting power.
Hello, welcome to Speaking of History. My name is Eric Langhorst. I'm an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri, and you're listening to a podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history. Today's podcast is episode number 190, and I'm recording it on the afternoon of May 13th, 2009. Well, we're getting ready to end the school year here at South Valley Junior High. We have about 8 days left. And just recently, I was looking through some of my books on my bookshelf and thought that there were some great opportunities for some podcasts about some of the books that I've used in class and just some general resources that are available. And so I thought I'd do a couple of those this spring and kind of continue that theme through the summer and hopefully do several podcasts on some of my favorite books and some of my favorite resources that I like to use in my 8th grade American history class. So I wanted to talk today about one that's called Our Documents, 100 Milestone Documents from the National Archives. And this is an amazing book. It costs about $30 if you look at Amazon right now. I believe it retails for $40, but Amazon had it at $30 this week. But it's a great classroom book, one that I think that probably every school should at least have in their library. And what they've done is they've taken what they believe are the 100 most important political documents in American history from colonial times all the way through 1965. I think the most recent one is 1965, 1966, somewhere in there. But it's a really amazing book because what they've done is they've taken a colored copy of the document, and that's in there. They also have the full text typed of the document. If it's a letter, for example, they've got the full text typed out so you can read it. And then it also has a little bit of a description about that document. So they've taken 100 documents and done those three things for each of them, which makes it really easy to use in class. So if you're talking about the Treaty of Paris, you're talking about one of these patents I'm going to talk about, you can basically bring it up and show it in class. And I'm going to talk about the book a little bit, but these are also resources that are available on a website as well. So I would recommend purchasing the book possibly if you could for your classroom or your building. But then there's also a site that accompanies it, which also has these documents available for you to be able to print out. So the documents itself are really interesting. Of course, you have the major ones. You've got the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Gettysburg Address. But just kind of looking through it today, some of the documents that I'd like to use next year in class, and just some of the ones that were interesting, the patent for the cotton gin. And when we talk about the cotton gin, the kids are always really interested in how it works and what it looks like. You can actually show them the picture of what Eli Whitney produced for the patent. It has Jefferson's secret letter to Congress about Lewis and Clark, which is kind of cool when you're talking about the fact that, when they started the process, it was a secret thing, and then the Louisiana Purchase happened a little bit after that. The telegram that announces a surrender at Fort Sumter, thought that was kind of cool. They have the check for the purchase of Alaska, which is kind of neat to see a check, that was basically paying for that huge tract of land. They have the patent for the light bulb. They have the Zimmerman telegraph, which I've always found really interesting. I don't teach about World War I anymore. I used to when I was a high school history teacher, and I used to include the Zimmerman telegraph. But you can actually see the code and how they decoded it and all those kinds of things. One of my favorite documents in American history, Eisenhower's Order of the Day on D-Day. And I love that document. It's the piece of paper that Eisenhower gave all the troops before they landed at D-Day. And I remember the first time I think that I became aware of that when I was reading Ambrose's book on D-Day, and they were talking about the Order of the Day. And I've always been fascinated with that note, that piece of paper that everybody got. And about probably 5 years ago, I was down at the NECC conference in New Orleans, and we went to the National D-Day Museum. And sometimes they have veterans there just kind of hanging out and kind of tell their stories and answer questions and things. And they actually have one of the Higgins boats right there when you walk into the museum. And the person that was there the summer day that we went in was someone that had actually landed on D-Day on day one. And we were talking to him, and several people from our district were down there for the conference, and we were talking to him. And then I asked him about that particular piece of paper, the order of the day. And he actually had a notebook with him where he kept all of his different artifacts and things from the war. And he actually had his with him. And so he went and got a copy of it on the photocopier there at the museum, and then he signed it on the bottom. And ever since I got back from that trip several years ago, I've had it framed, and in my classroom, when you have the American flag, I have a couple things next to the American flag, and one of them is that framed order of the day with his signature on the bottom. And I always let my students know at the beginning of the year kind of what I have up there by the flag, and it's just kind of a neat thing to look at each day and to think about what was going through their minds when they were given that order to attack and, you know, land on the beaches of Normandy, and they would have no idea how tough it was going to be. Well, they knew how tough it was going to be, but, you know, what was going through their mind is they knew that they're going to have to try and storm that beach. So that's actually in there, so you can print that off as well. They have one of the project notebooks from the Manhattan Project when they built the atomic bomb. They have JFK's inaugural address, and they have some aerial photos of the Cuban Missile Crisis. So some amazing things, you know, all the way from colonial. They've got things that are amendments. They've got different types of legislation. Just amazing. And then on the back of the book, there's a really good quote by one of my favorite historians, David McCullough. And his quote was, "This splendid book, providing both the text and facsimiles of the milestone documents in American history, is itself a publishing milestone. Ideally, it ought to be in every home, school, and library in the land as a reminder of so much that we hold dear and of the priceless treasures of our incomprehensible national archives." So that was a quote by David McCullough. So I went online and I was looking at where you could purchase this, because you can purchase it at the gift shop there at the National Archives. And when I did a quick search for it, I came across the webpage that is a partner to this. And I was amazed to find all the stuff that was available on the website. I've known about the book for a long time, but I didn't know about the website. The website is www.ourdocuments.gov. And they've got tools for teachers. You can pull up every single one of these documents that are in the book, and you can get a full printable, high-resolution PDF scan of that document. So if you wanted to use it in class, you can print off a scan of it. You can go ahead and put it into a multimedia presentation. If you have PowerPoint notes, you can take a scan of it. It's got the full text of each of those. It's got exactly the same information that's available in the book. And then it also has correlations to standards. It has ideas for librarians and how they can incorporate it into a library setting. They've got related documents, so some different images and documents that relate back to one of those 100 milestone documents. They've got additional things. They've got tips for classroom integration. Just absolutely amazing. So something that I really stumbled upon today, just doing the research for this podcast, ended up being a goldmine. So again, I'd encourage you to go ahead and purchase the book. It's kind of neat to be able to have it in, you know, bound copy, and you can use it in class and stuff. But definitely check out the website, www.ourdocuments.gov, and all of those are there as well. And you can actually go in and zoom in and then kind of move around the document if you wanted to see somebody's signature, for example, or, you know, do some investigative work and, you know, kind of see exactly what the document looks like. I know one thing I'm going to try and do a little bit more of next year is incorporate primary documents into my teaching. That's going to be one of my emphases next year. So I'm definitely going to use this book. I'm going to use the website to bring some of those in, because as I'm leafing through the book, there's different things where I see a document, or like, for example, I saw the patent for the cotton gin, and we talk about the cotton gin. I show some illustrations of the cotton gin, but I'd never thought of bringing up the patent. That'd be a really cool thing to have. Or, you know, some of these other things when we're talking about, you know, for example, Fort Sumter, to actually have the telegram that announces the surrender of Fort Sumter, that'd be really cool to add to my notes and to my presentation. So definitely check it out. A book that I would highly recommend any teacher. And I'm going to try and do this quite often throughout the summer. Pull a book off my shelf that I've used and just talk about it a little bit. And, you know, things like today, find a website that goes with it and it's just absolutely amazing. So that's what I got for today for podcast number 190. 8 days left in school, and my hope that the pace of the podcast will increase a little bit once school gets out and we have a little bit more time to chat. So remember, until next time, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst, an 8th grade American history teacher at South Valley Junior High in Liberty, Missouri. This podcast has a Creative Commons Attribution non-commercial license. Show notes, links, videos, and pictures are available at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. Music used in the intro and close is Technotrip, a track by Sounds Abound. You can learn more about their royalty-free music for schools at their website, www.soundzabound.com. Comments or questions about the podcast are always welcome, and you can contact Eric at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys. Bye.